just the freedom in the heart of forgotten America. This is the Steve Guber Show. God bless America for Wednesday, May the 29th, 2019. Here are three big things you need to know this hour. Three, adored by the left, villainized by the right, and discredited by just about everyone with a functioning brain, Michael Wolff is back. The author who delivered one work of fiction on Trump's first year in office, back with another piece of garbage, this time discredited by Bob Mueller himself. Ouch! Number two, the last abortion clinic in Missouri could be shuttered by the weekend, setting up more hysterical claims about the end of access to health care for women. We'll talk about that. And number one, Joe Biden has his first big town hall event of the 2020 campaign season, but it seems a whole bunch of folks think he's too old, too white, too boring to be president, frankly, and well, they're just not giving him a break. And then, of course, other Democrats continue to apologize for being men, for being white. And honestly, do we really need girly men to run for the most powerful job in the world? I think not. Eric Swalwell comes to mind. We'll get to Eric, the congressman from California, continuing to apologize for being who he is, along with Beto O'Rourke apologizing for who he is. It's completely nonsensical, but it is what it is. Now, Biden heading out on the road, and believe it or not, MSNBC taking shots at the former vice president, who they all but endorsed to get into the race a few weeks ago, now calling Biden out for not being everything they need, for not being progressive enough, for not being non-white enough, for not being liberal enough, for not being outspoken enough, and so on and so forth. In fact, MSNBC went out to a group of would-be voters ahead of Biden's town hall, casting down on the Democrat, casting down on Joe Biden. And I want you to hear this because it's fairly telling. It's bite number three from MSNBC tearing in to the former VP. Bite three.
What I have been struck by is the almost unanimity about some skepticism still about Biden, some work that he is still going to have to do to convince voters that he is the right man for this particular moment. Take a listen to some of these conversations.
It doesn't, because I don't really believe in it, just because I don't think you beat something so far right with something so middle ground. Joe Biden is very middle ground for me, and I think you need something a little more far left to combat that.
Yeah, he's Uncle Joe. Everybody likes their fluffy uncle. But he's Barack Obama's friend. He's got the cool black friend, right? That's all it is. Joe has a terrible history in the black community, and everybody just loves him because he's the fluffy old guy. He has given us no policies, and I like Joe Biden, but he's just not.
Like
I do like Joe Biden as a vice president.
I like Joe Biden as a vice president. He's got the cool black friend, and, you know, that's what he's got going for him. But as president, and here's the disconnect. I thought that Joe Biden was gobbling up the votes of the black community, apparently. That's not the case. And when he talks about the bad relationship, did that voter, talking about the bad relationship between Joe Biden and the black community, he's referring primarily to the 1994 crime bill. The 1994 crime bill written by Joe Biden that incarcerated millions, that many in the black community and the Democrat Party and the liberal fringe say put far too many people of color in prison. Now, the First Step Act put forth by President Donald Trump has begun to correct those issues, and a lot of high-profile releases have made their way to the front page of the newspapers and been on programs like this one. But that's one of the battles that Joe Biden has. It's an uphill battle. And then it comes to illegal immigration, another battle that Joe Biden has because of his positions on illegal aliens in the past. Demanding they speak English, demanding that they get sent home, demanding deportation, tough action, actual common sense answers, answers that actually make sense when it comes to defending the border. But sensical common sense answers have no place in the 2020 race to be the Democratic nominee for president. The most reactionary answers are most important, saying you'll have an open border and open arms and sanctuary cities and a sanctuary nation. That's what the Democrats want to hear. We have no idea why. Because it doesn't benefit their constituents. Having a good work program, a good work visa program, now that would be a great idea, to have guest workers come into the country, work for whatever period of time, go back to their native country for a period of time potentially, or potentially become legal here permanently, but not be citizens. There are a whole variety of things we can do to correct the immigration issues. But let's go back and refresh your memory again about Joe Biden on illegal aliens and how he would handle it. It's bite number four. Go.
Can you scare an employer in this country, whether he's an agricultural worker or a housewife, into not hiring an illegal because the punishment's so high that if you get caught,
yes,
it's a huge embarrassment to your family, and you may just get hit with a fine that'll kill you?
Yeah, absolutely, you can do that. And that's what we should do. Well, I think we should do that.
Because you can't catch
everybody. You can't. No, you can't. And the last part of this is that the Democratic position also recognized you got 11 million illegal aliens here. They have to have a way to earn their way into the deal. This is an amnesty. They're required to take 11 years worth. They pay a fine. They got to learn to speak English. They got to pass
tests. I like the English part.
Yeah.
I like the English part.
By the way,
if we want the problems of Canada right now, let's keep encouraging people to keep their foreign language. English is going to unite this country potentially. It always has in the past.
I can't think of a country that has two languages as their accepted languages that is doing all that well, including Switzerland and or Canada.
It divides us.
Yeah.
You can't talk to each other. Anyway, thank you, Senator Joe Biden. You've done it.
Yeah, but that was back in 2006 when you could say something like that and make sense and still be okay and not get kicked out of the Democrat Party, of course. That's no longer the case. Hey, you with a differing opinion, get out. We're the party of diversity. How dare you be here? You know the rules. You know the rules. By the way, in the surreal world of white apologists, as we just mentioned, there's Congressman Eric Swalwell of California, who's doing his level best to apologize for being a man, for apologizing for being white, much like Beto O'Rourke. But it just gets nauseating to hear these weaklings go on and on. But I can't help it. Here's an example of how silly it is. Apparently being the weakest candidate is the best route to the presidency, according to some. It's bite number five. Go. Bite number five. All right, hold on. We'll get to that. Eric Swalwell, we'll get to it.
Why should another white guy be president?
Well, a white guy who doesn't see other identities or understand other experiences should not be president. I do. And, you know, where there would be gaps in my knowledge or my experience, I will pass the mic to people, you know, who do have that experience. I've also pledged that I would ask a woman to serve as vice
president. That is the kind of thing that nightmares are made of. Can you imagine that weasel, that jellyfish, that spineless rodent being president of the United States? Please, Eric Swalwell. Swalwell, whatever. That guy as president is the thing that nightmares are made of. Jeez. But you know what's really, really frightening? Is that he looked in the mirror one day and said, man, you're going to be president. Yeah, that guy looked in the mirror one day and said, I'm going to be president. Yeah, take your medicine, Eric. The guys in the white suits are going to be by shortly to pick you up for your ride to school. It's the Steve Gerber Show on a Wednesday. We'll be right back.
You've seen the headlines. Water purity has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier water treatment company and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves customers statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to SteveGruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's SteveGruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo.
We're here with Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital. Dr. McCursey, Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. What's offered there?
We have a full array of imaging services at the health center. We have MRI, CT, 3D digital mammography, ultrasound, digital x-ray, and bone density.
What are the advantages for the patients who go there?
Our patients love the convenient location. They also love the easy in and out parking. And they also love the ability to schedule examinations after hours, both on the evenings and the weekends.
How can people learn more about Sparrow's radiology services?
To learn more, they can go to sparrow.org/radiology-services.
That's sparrow.org/radiology-services. We've been speaking to Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital, about how Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. Choose wisely. Choose Sparrow.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.